Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. We've been talking about sickle cell disease with Dr. Richard Sills, professor of pediatrics at Upstate. Sickle cell disease, his work with patients who have that disease. And just before the break, we introduced the fact that there's some excellent research getting ready to be done right here in Central New York. And we've asked Stephen Goodman, PhD, Vice President for Research at Upstate and Professor of Pediatrics and Chair of Graduate Studies, busy man, to join us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Goodman.
Good morning.
And welcome. I understand you're new to Central New York.
Yes, I arrived officially back on September 1st.
September 1st.
Yes.
From?
Well, I was coming from Dallas, where I spent the last 7 years on the faculty, both at UT Dallas and at UT Southwestern Medical Center.
Aha. Uh-huh. And you spent some time in the South before that, too.
Yes. I spent 13 years in South Alabama in Mobile prior to going to Dallas.
There you go. And now you're here and weathering the storms and winter. We're glad you're here.
Yes.
What brought you back was sickle cell disease.
Well, yes. What brought me back was the opportunity to work with outstanding researchers here at Upstate Medical University and to participate in research that I have been participating in for about the last 17 years on sickle cell disease.
Tell me what sparked your interest in sickle cell disease.
Well, from the late 70s, when I was a postdoc at Harvard, I was working on red blood cells, and that work transitioned into work on various misshapen red blood cells that cause hemolytic anemias, and that transitioned me into sickle cell disease.
I see. And so your work in sickle cell disease, you said over the last 17 years?
Yes.
In what kind of formation was that work?
Well, I became, while I was at the University of South Alabama College of Medicine, and I was a chair there of a basic science department, I also became the director of their NIH Sickle Cell Center. And I was the director of their Sickle Cell Center until I left to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Once arriving in Dallas, and I think I was hired in Dallas because they wanted to go after an NIH Sickle Cell Center, we applied out of UT Southwestern, with the head of that grant being Dr. George Buchanan from UT Southwestern. And we were successful and brought the very first NIH Sickle Cell Center ever to Texas, and the only one in the southwest of the United States.
What kind of work is done in a sickle cell center?
Well, in a sickle cell center, you have both basic research trying to lead to cures for sickle cell disease, and you also have clinical research, the testing of various therapeutics, drugs that might help patients who have sickle cell disease.
And the idea being to extend their lives and to improve the quality of their lives?
Yes, and ultimately to find a cure for the disease.
To find a cure. And that's kind of where we left things off with you, Dr. Sills, just before we took the break. There is research going on, and you two gentlemen now are working on bringing a form of research here to Central New York that will extend that whole idea. Tell us about some of the research that you want to be doing here.
Well, the goal is to understand how sickle cell disease affects the cells so that we can develop better approaches that ultimately result in better therapies and better survival of patients with sickle cell disease. And to do that, we need to better understand what is happening in the chemistry within the cells that causes these abnormal reactions.
Well, I'm so fascinated by the fact that you're applying for this grant. We have had previous guests who have talked to us about some of the research grants they get from the government. And they're important grants, but the money's been very flat over these numbers of years. So tell us what's in your research that you believe that you can get this NIH grant to come in.
Well, the type of grant we're going after is called a program project grant, and it's one where you have multiple investigators working around a common theme.
Okay.
And the common theme in this particular grant is the role of the red blood cell in sickle cell disease. It's the cell that is primarily affected by the genetic disorder, because the protein hemoglobin is the major protein within the red blood cell, and that's the protein that has the alterations in sickle cell disease.
And if I understand research correctly and how the approach is done, you usually start with some kind of hypothesis, something that you think you're going to find, and then you go in pursuit of that outcome. What do you think you're going to find?
Well, in the case of the work that I would be doing on that program project grant, we are trying to understand the differences in severity and in clinical outcome between different people who are all affected by the same genetic disease, sickle cell disease.
And what does how does that translate to an individual patient? Are you, my guess would be, you're looking at one person who does not have the disease as badly, is not as badly affected, versus somebody who is worse of it? I don't even know how to phrase it.
We're trying to find what are called protein markers, which can tell a clinician very early in life whether that patient is going to be severe and have a large number of crises per year, or whether they will have a milder form of the disorder and have fewer crises per year. And the advantage that that would give to the clinician is that they could base their therapies on advanced knowledge of how that patient will develop over the next few years.
Have you noticed those kinds of things in your work, Dr. Sills? Because you're working directly with these patients. You must have some patients that have the disease more remarkably than others.
Absolutely. And we have tools. We can cure sickle cell disease with some children. We can cure with bone marrow transplant.
You can.
But at substantial risk of illness and even death. And so we need to know who's going to have more severe disease in whom that therapy would be appropriate, as opposed to a child who's likely to have mild disease in which the cure might be worse than the disease. So
I
we
see.
Need to figure out how to predict who's going to have more severe disease in whom more aggressive therapies are justified, and who's going to have more mild disease in whom dangerous therapies are not justified.
I find it fascinating that you say that some of the children can be cured early on. And I want to digress for just a moment, because let's talk about that just for a moment. What is it that you do to, you said a bone marrow transplant, who are they getting transplants from, and how do you arrange for that?
Well, this is a whole complicated issue, because most children, probably 85% of children at this point, don't have an appropriate donor for bone marrow transplant.
Right.
So we're talking only very few children even have the option of transplant, and then you have to decide which of those children are sick enough to justify this dangerous procedure.
And I know that recently here at Upstate, there was a bone marrow drive to get more African Americans in particular to sign up to be donors to help some of those children. What have you discovered in your research to date, Dr. Goodman? What kinds of things have you discovered that you can use moving forward?
Well, a few things. There's one type of red blood cell in the circulation of a sickle cell patient that are called irreversibly sickled cells, because they always remain sickled no matter what is happening to the hemoglobin within the cell.
And let's describe that shape just momentarily. We talked about it with Dr. Sills, but it's kind of in the shape almost of a boomerang, I look at it.
Yes. It was named sickle cell because it looks just like a sickle. It's
the
an elongated,
old tool.
The old tool. An elongated cell. Mm-hmm. And the reason that it takes that shape is that when oxygen is not bound to this protein that I've been talking about, this protein hemoglobin, it forms these long polymers. And these long polymers stretch the cell into an abnormal shape.
I see. All right.
Now, most of the cells can rebound again to their normal shape, and those are called reversibly sickled cells. But a certain percentage can never rebound. And so what my laboratory did a number of years ago was work out what the defects were in the proteins within the red blood cell that caused the irreversible sickling.
Ah, and so is it logical to say the next step would be to figure out how those that are reversible, what the differences are between the two? So maybe you can make the irreversible ones reversible?
Yeah, we actually worked that out as well.
You did.
A number of years ago.
Good.
And a drug that could counteract that was developed and was tried in what are called phase two human trials.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be an efficacious trial. The drug worked.
Good.
In terms of reducing dense, irreversibly sickled cells. And it also worked in terms of decreasing the crisis rate of people who have sickle cell disease. And so it would need to go on to the next level of trials, which are called phase three trials,
sure,
before it could come onto the market.
Very good. So you've had some successes, and the whole point to your applications now is to find more successes. Would that be a fair way of describing it?
Yes. The difference between folks who have three or more crises per year and one or few crises per year is on the average a 15-year difference in the lifespan.
Ah.
So it's very important to understand the difference between those two groups so that you can try to create a situation where folks have fewer crises per year. You would not only be improving the quality of their life, but you would be extending their life at the same time.
Which is just a wonderful outcome and a good way to end our conversation. When you get this grant, and we'll keep our fingers crossed, we hope you'll come back and tell us more about some of the successes you're having. Thanks so much for joining us, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, we will be back in just a few minutes. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.